Texas Mobile. Good morning.
ALX, W2JKT. Name here is Eric. How's it going?
Eric, coming to you downtown live, Simpsonville. It'll be a beautiful day today. Can't wait.
Ready to be done with the clouds and rain and the dreary and all that stuff and get into some nice warm spring weather. Definitely been waiting for that for a while.
Not much for the winter months. I mean, I do enjoy the cool summer breezes, but I'm not that much for the cold. Looking forward to spring myself. I just say like this year round will be okay with me.
If you came down here from the north to get away from the cold and the snow as best I could, so doing fine so far. I like the fact that winter is only a few weeks in January.
I work with a bunch of guys from Michigan, and and I was talking about, oh, it's freezing cold there, and still got snow on the ground, and no, they can have all that. I'll pass. I wonder what diesel price is going to be this morning. Let's look by the Walmart up here and see what the cost is.
$3.76 at the quick trip at exit 90, if that's any help.
That must have went down a penny. It was $3.77, Highway 14. Where it comes in there, right there at 85. There's $3.77, so hopefully it came down a penny.
Seven at the same quick trip yesterday and 376 today, so it's creeping down. I'm glad it's back under four again. I don't drive my truck often, but when I do, I don't like it to cost $5 a gallon.
You, me, and everybody else drives a diesel, but I do love my truck. Pretty much haul anything with this thing.
It is to pull my travel trailer, but my normal commuting vehicle is an electric car, but my girlfriend needs to borrow that for a few days this week while her car gets worked on. So, I'm without my EV this week, so I'm driving the truck to work probably 3 days this week.
Yesterday, I thought the wife, your girl there probably enjoys driving the EV more than her car. That's probably okay with me. I enjoy driving the wife's car, but I really enjoy driving my truck a whole lot better.
JKT. Yeah, the EV is definitely fun to drive. I still think she likes her Honda better, just because that's what she's used to. I love my truck. I love driving my truck. It's comfortable. It's quiet, but I have to say that for an 85-mile each-way commute, I'm happy to drive the EV instead every single day.
I got an emergency notice here. Walmart, diesel, $3.75 a gallon. Let me fuel up real quick. I'll be right back. Talk to you in a minute, Eric. KD4ILX.
He's standing by.
KSW Mobile.
To JKT. How's it going?
Good this morning, and yourself?
I got off to a little bit of an early start this morning, so I'm a little further south than I usually am this time of day, but just making my way in.
I think it'll be better for you.
Bad in the morning going in. It's in the afternoon that it really just gets me. I had to take a couple of detours yesterday and got caught up in some 85 northbound traffic a couple places, and I left work early yesterday, so I'm glad I didn't leave at my normal time. I would have gotten it even worse.
Detours must have took a minute or two to get around.
Just jump off, when there's construction traffic on Google Maps, I usually just jump off there at exit 78 and just loop around a little bit. It takes about 10 extra minutes to get home over having no traffic on 85, but yesterday Google Maps was telling me that that was the fastest way to go. So I took a little roundabout detour off of exit 78 back up to Shelby, and then there was a slowdown up around Pelham Road. For reasons unknown, as they always are. So, made it home though, and it was just another day. So,
they don't need a reason to back up at Pelham Road.
That's because
you're often running 5 miles an hour, and you get up there, and there ain't nothing, and the traffic just starts going again.
The way it happens.
By people just following too close, you know, and then jamming on the brakes, and then it makes everybody back up, and then it just stalls it out.
Studied that in college physics, density wave theory, and you can model like the effects of a single person, you know, jamming on the brakes because they're following too close, and it just has a ripple effect. And you know, if you have enough volume, then it'll come to a standstill.
For HKX. Good morning, gentlemen.
To you, JKT.
Good morning, Patrick K and 4TFW.
And backing up down there on 85 is why I try to stay away from it. I just soon go the long way around.
Worse for me because they're about to shut down the exit at 96 to replace the overpass. And, yeah, that's going to be a nightmare. So I'll have to take some other exit to get home. Probably 90. I could probably do exit 92 and then take Boiling Springs Road. But, you know, it's going to add another 10 minutes in both directions.
Something to look forward to, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How was everybody's day yesterday?
Had a bit of a longer commute home because of all the traffic, but, yeah, I picked up my rain barrel at Tractor Supply yesterday for the pepper garden we're putting in, and we got a bunch of our seeds in the mail yesterday. We're growing some Carolina Reapers, some Madame Jeanette, Thor's Hammers, and some multicolored jalapenos in our garden this year, so it should be pretty good.
Plant all those in one bed?
That's 3x10-foot raised bed to grow peppers in this year, so all those are going in.
Not cross-pollinate and make even your milder peppers be hot?
Question.
Pretty sure they will. We had done that when we were growing up in the garden, Mom did, and planted bell peppers too close to some hot peppers, and they were a little not what they were quite supposed to be.
Buffalo peppers are already smoking hot. The Carolina Reaper, obviously, is the hottest in the world. The Thor's Hammer is about 75% of what a Carolina Reaper is, and a Madame Jeanette is like a habanero. So the jalapenos, we'll see if they come out any hotter than they should.
Interesting to know if they would. My experience, past experience, they peppers will cross-pollinate, but you know, you never know.
It would take, you know, that first season, they would cross-pollinate, but the changes wouldn't show up until you replanted the seeds from one of the existing, you know, the fruits that grew from that. So I thought it took a year, but I could be wrong.
I remember Mom fussing about her bell peppers being hot, and they weren't supposed to be.
Around September.
Still in there?
Just listening and learning.
What did Miss Susan get into yesterday?
Yeah, anything. Only thing I did was walk the dog. We ate dinner, washed the dishes, walked the dog, watched a little bit of TV.
We had the Simplex net over on the thermal belt repeater last night. Then it moved to the Simplex net. And we was able to move a piece of traffic all the way from my house around the mountain. Took, three people to do it, three relays. So that was pretty cool.
Good. I really get on the 5-2, but, you know what I mean? So sometimes there's somebody there and most of the time there's not, though.
Played with APRS routing?
I've got my 710 set up to do APRS, but up here where I'm at, you don't hit a digipeater. I don't know what it is. I have a hard time hitting one.
So, you know, if you have a like a PC client or some other APRS client, you can actually specify a route up to 8 hops long. So sometimes I'll try to form a packet that will, you know, take a specific route from one place to another. And I've actually been able to specify a route and get a packet all the way from my house and, you know, from where I was in South Carolina, all the way up to the Washington, D.C. area just from going digipeater to digipeater without using the internet part of it.
That'd be pretty cool. I'd like to know more about that.
Remember, I can send you an email, but if you just Google for the APRS specification, there's a packet format in there that's where it's defined, and you can make your own route if you know the call signs of the digipeaters, and the packet will follow that route.
I'll have to check that out. Didn't know you could do that with APRS. I thought you just had to hit whatever come around.
To use the wide call sign routing method, you can use a manual routing method just as well.
Definitely have to check that out. That'd be pretty cool, too.
And on APRS.fi when you can have it go, radio to radio for hundreds of miles.
But I've got an extra 700, and it's APRS capable. Just setting up a digipeater there at the house. I really wouldn't need the APRS. I could just grab the coordinates out on one of my other radios and put it in and use it as a digipeater that way. And then that way there would be one in the area.
Thing for Shelby, I've got all the hardware I need to do an APRS digipeater. I just need the time to set it all up. I've got my D-Star machine up and running, and I've got a duplexer for 2 and 70 centimeters. The D-Star machine's on 70 centimeters, so I can use the 2-meter part for an APRS digipeater.
Cool. I'd like to learn more about D-Star. I have the 5100 that I'm on now. I've never been able to get on a D-Star repeater.
Probably hard, but it does take, there is a little bit of a learning curve to it.
And in this hobby, there's a learning curve to about anything. And I've got DMR fairly under wraps, so I might be able to get the D-Star one day.
100 have repeater lists built in?
I need to update it, but it's there.
Usually it's just as simple as dialing in a repeater. That gets you like basic local operation, and then getting into some more of the advanced routing with call signs and stuff takes a little bit more, but you should just be able to hit a repeater that's in the repeater list and get on at least the local part of it. Linking and unlinking and gateway operations is a little bit different, takes a little bit more hands-on.
That's the problem. I haven't been able to hit, or I don't know if the D-Star repeaters up here in this area are still active. And I hear one repeater every now and then, 145, 420, when I get in certain areas, but I think it's down the mountain and I don't hear it all that well. And the linking and unlinking is one of the things I have an issue trying to understand it. No DQ is calling for local, if I'm correct, if I remember right. That's where I'm lost, and I didn't have anybody else to ask about it.
I mean, when you're, there's RPT1 and RPT2, and if you have CQ, CQ, CQ as the call sign that you're calling, then yeah, that's just a local op, but if you, you could actually specify gateway operation as well with RPT2, I think. All has to do with the suffix of the call sign in RPT2. So, there's some documentation about it. It's not really hard to pick up, but I don't remember it all off the top of my head, but it's easy to find.
For most of it either, since it's been so long since I messed with it now. That was the first digital mode I tried to figure out. I couldn't get it all set up on where I'm logged in, or you got my DMR ID and all that online, but I don't know. I'm not sure if I got it all done correctly.
A bit more, but what really keeps me off of V-Star is that I just can't stand how bad digital voice sounds on the new narrowband stuff. you know, the FCC was like, oh, you can only have 6 kilohertz. So all the public safety stuff went to this ultra narrow band stuff, and it sounds just terrible, and I hate listening to it. So that's the main reason I don't do more with D-Star.
I hadn't noticed that, but I'm having to lay back here. I think I got a drunk driver in front of me here for a minute, so I'm all hanging clear radio.
Are here too, so we might want to QSY. I'm not sure where you're at, but you're coming in a little spotty.
Roger.
QSY.
KN4 TFW QSY.